another. This morning we're going to be looking at what the Bible tells us about one mother's faith. Now, this woman isn't named in the Bible, but God wanted us to know the story of her faith. So if you have your Bible, you can open up to 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 7. And if you're using the church Bible, 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7 starts on page 336. So have you ever wondered when Americans started celebrating Mother's Day? In an article in the Christian History Newsletter, Alicia Kaufman wrote the following. The holiday was born out of one woman's desire to honor her mother's life of sacrifice and grace. Born in 1864 in Grafton, West Virginia, Anna Jarvis witnessed the aftermath of the Civil War through a child's eyes. Her mother, Anna Marie Reeves Jarvis, had spent the war organizing women to nurse wounded soldiers from both the North and the South, and generally attempting to hold her border state community together. After the war, Anna Marie started Mother's Friendship Days to reconcile families that had been divided by the war. Throughout her life, Anna Marie modeled the ideals of Victorian motherhood. She gave up her dreams of college in order to attend to an older husband and four children. She bore the loss of seven other children with grace. She taught Sunday school in a local Methodist church for 20 years and stayed active in benevolent work. Anna Marie's death in 1905 devastated her daughter. 2 years later, Anna got the idea to found a holiday remembering her mother and all mothers, whom she felt could never be thanked enough. So Mother's Day was first celebrated in 1908 in Grafton, where Anna grew up, and in Philadelphia, where she lived as an adult. Later, in a resolution passed in 1908, the U.S. Congress officially established the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. So that's how Mother's Day came into existence. So now let's take a look at the mother in our passage this morning. Let's read through 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Do not get a few. And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not one vessel more." And the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest." Would you pray with me? Father, we do thank you for the mothers that you've given each and every one of us. You've selected those specifically to be our mothers and to teach us what we needed to know to make it in the world, Father. We thank you for this example this morning of this one mother's faith. And as we go through this message, we just pray that you open our eyes so we can see what her faith accomplished. That we're not in this alone. That even as hard as it is to be a mother, that there's always Jesus right beside them to help them through any situation and to share their joy in all the good situations, Father. So I just pray that you open our hearts and minds as we go through this message, and that we know more about you when we leave here than we did when we came in. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So mothers have so many responsibilities. And this is where I thought I would list out some of the responsibilities, but I was pretty sure I'd leave some out and I'd be in big trouble when I got in the car a little later. So let's just say mothers have so many responsibilities, I can't even list them all. But God has equipped mothers for this task. He's equipped them with patience and understanding, with the ability to teach their children and help them grow. He gives them physical strength. I know as myself, holding one of those six-month-old babies for a half hour, it gets pretty heavy. I don't know how these ladies do it all the time. He gives them the ability to clean up some messes that would make some of us guys pass out. God has equipped women with everything they need to be a mother. And the mother in this passage has the added responsibility of being a widow. So her husband has died, so she has to take on his role as well. And part of his role is to protect the children. So she has to learn to protect them from many different things. And I found this story posted by Judy Dutton about a single mom protecting her children. Mary Thomas was a single mom of 9 children, living in Chicago's rough West Side neighborhood. 7 of Mary's 9 kids were boys. Young men constantly stretching the boundaries of their tired mother's authority and patience. One day in 1966, Mary opened her front door to find 25 street thugs on her stoop. Now, these men were members of the notorious Vice Lords gang, and they had come to recruit her 7 sons. Mary, after hearing their intentions, dropped her gaze, said, "Oh, okay, hold on just a second," and closed the door. When the door opened again, the first thing the Vice Lord saw was the barrel of a loaded shotgun. "There's only one gang around here, and that's the Thomas gang." And with that same fortitude, Mary Thomas ushered each of her 9 children through their high school graduation. You may have heard of her youngest son, pro basketball player and Hall of Famer Isaiah Thomas. So just as the mother in our passage has to learn to protect, she may not have a gang outside of her door where she has to grab a shotgun, but she has to learn to protect her kids from certain things that she may not have had to otherwise. She had the added responsibility of being a widow on top of her responsibilities of being a mother. But because she was a woman of faith, this mother knew where to go in her time of need. Verse 1 tells us, "Now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor has come to take my 2 children to be his slaves.'" So the sons of the prophets were disciples of the great prophets like Elijah and Elisha. They were prophets in training, or seminary students in a sense. And they lived in small communities where Elijah and Elisha would visit them from time to time. This woman was married to one of these disciples. And he had died. And he left her with some debt that she couldn't pay. And the creditor that she owed the debt to was coming to take her 2 sons and make them his slaves in order to pay off the debt. Now, that may sound extreme to us, but this is not uncommon in this time period. The Mosaic law allowed creditors to take debtors' children as slaves as payment for debts they owed. They would have to work for the creditor until the year of Jubilee, when the law required him to set them free. And the year of Jubilee occurred every 50 years. So even though this may sound harsh to us, this creditor is acting responsibly according to the law. But because of her faith,
This mother knew where to go when she needed help. She went to the prophet Elisha because she knew that God worked through him. And she knew that she needed God's wisdom to help her solve her problem. Now, there's a lesson here for all of us, not just for mothers. And it's a lesson that I think most of us think we've already learned until something happens. We all know that whenever we're facing some kind of a trial or hardship, the first thing we should do is go to God in prayer. But do we? I think most of us probably do most of the time. But sometimes our first thought isn't to go to the Lord in prayer. Our first thought is, well, we can take care of this ourselves, isn't it? And then once we've turned it into a bigger mess, then we go to the Lord in prayer. This mother, because of her faith in God and concern for her children, didn't hesitate to call on the Lord through the prophet Elisha. She knew where to go in her time of need. And the second thing we see is this mother found the answer to her need was right at home. Verse 2. Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." So here we see Elisha considering her problem. What shall I do for you? And in the next line, he's searching to see what they have to work with when he asked her, "What do you have in your house?" Now that's a good question for all mothers. What do you have in the house? A husband who loves you? Food enough for today? Enough money to buy what you need? This mother had none of these things. But in her answer, you can see that she is trusting God. She said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." See, she didn't focus on the negative. She didn't focus on the fact she didn't have anything. She knew that God could work in any situation in ways that we can't understand. That's why she didn't focus on the fact that she didn't have anything. She focused on the one thing they did have, a jar of oil. And the Hebrew word translated as jar indicates that it was a small jar. So this wasn't a big gallon jug of oil. It was a small jar, and some even think it was just enough for an anointing. Even though it was just a small amount of oil, she counted it as a blessing. And she made sure that she told Elisha about it. Do you ever stop and count your blessings? No matter how small they may seem. I mean, look at everything God has given you. If you do that, then you can't help but realize that God has given us all more than we need. And He's given us far more than we deserve. It's important that we keep this in perspective the same way this mother did, because it changes the way we look at our situation. When we realize that everything we have is a blessing from God, it changes the way we live. When we feel overwhelmed and we take the time to look at those blessings, it just changes our whole viewpoint on everything. It's like the mother in this illustration that I found. In his book, Unbelievable, Justin Brierley shared the story of Jennifer Fulweiler, who grew up in a loving family, but one in which religion was painted as clearly false. Jennifer says that she never remembers the time when she believed in God as a child. Raised on a diet of science, reason, and evidence-based rational thought, her bedtime reading was Carl Sagan's astronomy book, Cosmos. From a young age, she knew that the world ran according to a well-established set of natural laws, and science was the de facto way of understanding everything. Jennifer remained a happy atheist as an adult into the early years of her marriage. However, shortly after the birth of her first child, she experienced a dramatic shift in her thinking. Jennifer describes it this way. I looked down and thought, what is this baby? And I thought, well, from a pure atheist materialistic perspective, he's a randomly evolved collection of chemical reactions. And I realized that if that's true, then all the love I feel for him is nothing more than chemical reactions in my brain. I looked down at him and I thought, that's not true. It's not the truth. This moment was a turning point for the young mother, one which would eventually lead her to Christian faith, as described in her book, Something Other Than God. Something had clicked for Jennifer. These scientific explanations she had grown up with weren't enough to explain the totality of what she was experiencing in the bond with her child. All of her knowledge of science couldn't explain the actual experience of fully fledged love. When we realize that everything is a blessing from God, it changes everything. The mother in our passage not only realized the jar of oil was a blessing from God, this mother knew that anything is possible if you put your trust in God. Verses 3 through 7. Then he said, Elisha, go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Do not get a few. And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not one vessel more. And the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest. Because of her faith, this mother did not hesitate to do what Elisha told her to do, even though she didn't understand why. She and her sons went to the neighbors and collected all the containers they could get, just as Elisha had told her. Then Elisha told her to go into her house, shut the door behind her and her sons, and start pouring oil from her small jar into these vessels they'd collected. Now, most of us probably would have said something like, what on earth are you thinking? We have all these vessels and just one small jar of oil, and you want us to pour into all these vessels from this little jar? We're not going to have more than a drop in each one. But because she trusted God, this mother did exactly what Elisha told her without questioning him at all. She went into the house. She shut the door behind her and her sons. They kept bringing those vessels to her, and she kept pouring oil into them. God took what she had, that little bit of oil, and he multiplied it to fill all the vessels that they had collected. And when the last one was full, that oil stopped flowing. Now, the Bible doesn't tell how many vessels they had collected, but it must have been quite a few, because Elisha said to sell it, and she would have enough to pay off her debt, and they would have enough left over to live on. That's a lot of oil from one little jar. God worked a miracle in this situation, but that miracle never would have happened if it hadn't have been for the mother's faith. This story is an example of how one mother's faith saved her family. It's a great example for all of us, especially mothers that may be feeling overwhelmed or burdened in some way. There are so many challenges to being a mother. It's not easy. But if you put your trust in the Lord and you reach out to him in prayer, before things get out of control. He will work in you. He will give you the strength you need to face the difficulties of being a mother. God doesn't always work miracles in our lives to help us get through our problems. Sometimes he does. But more often than not, just realizing what God has blessed you with, that's all it'll take to change the way you see your situation. That's why it's so important to take some time each day and think about some of the many blessings God has given you as a mother. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example you've given us in this mom and the strong faith that she had. We pray that we use that as an example moving forward in our lives whenever we face a difficult situation, that the first thing we think to do is to kneel to you in prayer. Give it to you. Not try to take it on ourselves. Father, we thank you for equipping our mothers to deal with us. We're not always easy to deal with. Thank you for the love that you've shown through each and every mother. Thank you for loving us the way you do. In Jesus' name, amen.